through the nation of Israel the salvation of the Gentiles. Okay? So, the Father, when you think about Acts 3:26 there, unto you first God having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn him away every one of you from his own Israel. And then the verses make sense only in the light of what I just said to you. I mentioned Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 4:22, Jesus said, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, the thing to remember here and to see here is this, that Matthew 28:19, just the 2 points that I actually focused on here. One, that it's part of the commandments that Christ gave to the apostles whom he had chosen from the beginning. And Paul could have never been one of the 12. Paul could not labor under this commission. The only people that could partake of this commission would have been one who had been with the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning until the day he was taken up. Paul did not qualify. So it's unreasonable and it's unthinking to say Paul was one of the 12, or that Paul labored under the apostleship and ministry of the circumcision. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is clear Paul had a separate and distinct apostleship. They're not the same. And that the apostleship of the circumcision and the ministry of the circumcision has to do with the salvation of Israel and by them the salvation of the Gentiles. Today, Israel has been cast away. They've been set aside for the moment. And now, apart from the nation of Israel, salvation is being sent to the Gentiles. God is not blessing anyone today because of their blessing Israel. No one is being blessed through Israel or by Israel. Apart from Israel, salvation is being sent to the Gentiles. This is the gospel of the uncircumcision Paul was separated unto and preached. Okay, any questions, comments? Feel free to chime in. Hey, I want to say thanks for all that are in the room, and how you doing, Brother Don, and Brother Cabin. And I'm not quite sure of who I am, who that I'm speaking to there. I spoke to Greg already there, and Robert. But glad you all fit in on the room tonight. How you doing, Cal? And so if you have any questions or comments, I know these are things that might be familiar to you all, but these are things that I'm preaching on a TV broadcast, and the audience that I'm reaching out to are those who may not know these things that we're talking about. And so, you know, I have precious little time to have a whole lot of different materials for different things that I, you know, different preaching engagements, so can't spread myself too thin. So that's why you hear some of these things that you may already be familiar with. But also remember that these are things that we should always keep foremost in our own understanding, because most of the people we're going to talk to do not have that understanding. Okay, I'm looking at River Cabin's question. Would you agree that the preaching of the grace message is the distinguishing element which identifies a program change regardless of the audience hearing it? The Acts 28 position does not agree. Now, I believe 1 Corinthians 15 is a message that is began to be preached by Paul. I don't believe the 12 was preaching that before Paul. If 1 Timothy 2:6 means anything, the gospel Paul preached is a due time gospel. And the 12 certainly were not preaching the shed blood of Christ. They weren't preaching the cross. Remember, they were preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, not the cross. Yeah, I've debated and argued with Acts 28ers, and they just don't have a defendable position. 1 Timothy 1:15-16 is indisputable. Titus 2:11 is indisputable. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God didn't wait to Acts 28 to do that. And Romans 11:11-12, Romans 11:15 makes that abundantly clear, that the time frame for the introduction of the dispensation of grace is associated with the fall of Israel and the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And the introduction of the dispensation of grace is in Saul's conversion. And that to wait to Acts 28 would, that's an indefensible position based on what I've just said. And there's just no way, to defend the Acts 28 position. You know, not to associate the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, how anyone can not see that is beyond me. And Paul clearly, from the very beginning of his ministry, if there was anything he had an appreciation for, it's the grace of God. Go ahead, Highlander. Well, there's no way you can read Paul's epistles and think of him as an apostle in the secondary sense. Paul is an apostle in the primary sense. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:1, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ himself and God the Father. He's an apostle by commandment of God, and so on and so forth. So there's no way, number one, to think of Paul's apostleship in a secondary sense. Now, there are apostles in a secondary sense associated with Paul and his apostleship in ministry. Okay. Ephesians 4:11, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. 1 Corinthians 12, God has set these in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, etc. in the beginning there. And those are apostles, not in the same vein that Paul is an apostle. Paul is the apostle in the dispensation of grace to the church, which is the body of Christ. The others are apostles in the secondary sense, and that is, they're not on the same level. Paul is, and Paul's apostleship, by the way, is really singular in nature, and that is because of who he is an apostle to. Remember, you have 12 apostles because you have 12 tribes of Israel. Well, the body of Christ is one. And so you have that one primary apostle to the body of Christ. And others that co-labor with Paul they have that authority delegated to them, but don't have that authority in the primary sense. Paul has that authority in the primary. The others have that authority delegated to them in subjection to Paul's apostleship and ministry. But, and also, Greg, the point that, you know, you picked up on, that it's just not simply that Paul is not one of the 12 apostles. He did not and could not have labored under that apostleship, period, by his own words. He says he's an apostle of the uncircumcision. Peter's apostleship was an apostleship of the circumcision. Their gospel was a gospel of the circumcision. Their ministry was a ministry of the circumcision. Paul is not. When you remember that the apostleship of the circumcision is about the salvation of the nation of Israel first, and then salvation to the Gentiles. And that is clearly something that is lacking in the understanding of denominationalism at large. They do not see that. They do not accept that. But if words mean anything, that's the truth. That's the state of things. And until the church acknowledges that, they will always be unstable. You see, trying to follow two different apostleship, trying to follow two different ministries, remember what James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And nothing can evidence that more than the church at large today, being double-minded, trying to follow Paul's apostleship, trying to follow the 12 apostleship, and the two are separate and distinct. They are not the same. And because of that, the church is in chaos. The church is in confusion. The church is in apostasy. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, one of the points I had made, that is, if you're trying to preach the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the circumcision, you're preaching a gospel God never gave to be preached. They're not one and the same. Their description evidences that. And to try to combine elements of the two into one gospel is to create an entirely new gospel, which Paul in Galatians 1:6 would call another gospel, which Paul would call a perversion of the gospel, and which Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 would say, if you're preaching a gospel that is clearly the word, you know, defined by words of wisdom, makes the cross practice of none effect. And that's what, you know, trying to combine those two gospels, the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision, trying to make them one gospel, again, perverts the gospel and makes the gospel of none effect. And my Bible tells me what that means is that the gospel that is designed to save, when perverted, does not save. I don't care how much it may sound like what you and I preach, and how sincere someone may be in preaching it. It does not save. Now, I know that's a tough pill to swallow. But it also demonstrates how important it is for you and I to hold fast to the form of sound words, and that we do not destroy the simplicity of the gospel. Yes, clearly with the introduction of the gospel of the uncircumcision indicated a new beginning. And when you think about the gospel of the uncircumcision, I think the most important thing to remember in defining the gospel of the uncircumcision is that it is about the salvation of Jews and Gentiles without distinction. It is, again, the gospel of the circumcision has to do with the salvation, the gospel of the circumcision has to do with the salvation of Israel first, and then salvation to the Gentile. That's what Jesus said, let the children first be filled. You see, that's the gospel of the circumcision. The gospel of the uncircumcision is not predicated upon the salvation of the nation of Israel. Yeah, but again, the Acts 28ers they can't defend their position. Make statements like that all the way through, but you got to remember the clearly defined statements of Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, Romans 11:11 and 12, Romans 11:7-32, Titus, all of those passages makes it abundantly clear that the introduction of the dispensation of grace was with the fall of Israel and the salvation of the chief of sinners. And everything that Paul has to say about the dispensation of the grace of God springs from there, not Acts 28.